Forget expensive medicines and complicated instructions. Some solutions for saving the lives of mothers and infants have been around for centuries and continue to work today. One of the simplest is feeding newborns exclusively with the mother's milk for several months. The method is not universally followed. In some cultures, taboos discourage dependence on breastfeeding. In others, the use of enriched powdered or dry milk has been encouraged. But experts warn that adding other liquids can introduce germs into the baby's system that may then lead to diarrhea and other illnesses. Mary Beth Power is a reproductive health advisor for Save the Children in Westport, Connecticut.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of cultural habits and cultural taboos around breastfeeding. So in most cultures, breastfeeding was a common practice, but it wasn't necessarily what we call exclusive breastfeeding, meaning no other foods or liquids were added to the baby's diet. In many hot places, hot and dry places, people assume that the baby needs water because they can't see how much liquid the baby's taking in when they're breastfeeding. So they might assume that the baby needs water, and the quality of water, of course, in many parts of the world is really substandard and can introduce infections into the child. So one big reason that when you look at the percentage of children exclusively breastfed, it's so low in many, many countries, only 1% in Niger, for example, is because people introduce other foods that are either considered necessary, like the addition of water, or in some countries they add things like special teas or honey water to sweeten the child's disposition. I mean, there are beliefs surrounding why breast milk is not considered to be enough and the other things that are added to the baby's diet. But all of those things introduce potential for infection, whereas breast milk is not only itself like the best food for babies, but it has anti-infective properties. If you expressed breast milk into a cup, it would kill germs in the cup. It's like Lysol within the breast milk, sort of. It can really actually reduce the infection or any infective properties that are inside the baby's gut.
Especially nutritious is colostrum, the first of the breast milk, which is rich in carbohydrates, proteins, and antibodies.
The other taboo that surrounds breast milk that in many countries around the world, not just in Africa, because we see the same thing in Asia, is there are many people who, because colostrum, the first milk that comes into a mother's breast, doesn't really look like milk. It's usually yellowish in color or something. Many people thought it is, you know, there's something wrong with that. It's something to be expelled. So people would express that breast milk and basically not feed the baby for a few days until the mother's milk came in, or they might feed the baby something else just for those few days. And then when the mother's in it, throw out the colostrum, basically, and then provide the breast milk when the breast milk came in. But that colostrum has these very important anti-infective properties in it. It's like the baby's first vaccination. So the immune properties inside the mother are transferred to the baby through that early breast milk. And that's another reason that these breastfeeding practices are suboptimal in many of these countries.
Prolonged breastfeeding is also a natural way to promote birth spacing, another way of ensuring the health of mother and her newborn. Power says a woman who breastfeeds exclusively is not likely to ovulate for 6 months. She says in some countries, health experts recommend what's called the LAM method, whereby a woman breastfeeds for 6 months and also adds another method of family planning. LAM has been used successfully in Egypt, where Save the Children health experts say even local religious authorities have accepted the idea. Patrick Crump is the group's country director in Cairo.
I think within Islam, just within sort of Christianity, there has been the same sorts of debates. And originally, the religious position of the of Islam was that birth control was not something that you find in the Quran. It was not something that was a foreign concept. But over time, public health officials have, you know, really looked at this and found, you know, religious scholars and then eventually religious authorities who found citations in the Quran that promoted birth spacing, which is a very different concept but very familiar to Muslims. And I think there is a surah in the Quran that says if a mother is still breastfeeding and gives birth, she's, I can't remember the word, penalizing or killing or both children. So that Muslim authorities have actually started promoting this concept of birth spacing without necessarily addressing directly how do you do that in terms of family planning.
That surah, how was that interpreted?
That you should wait, I think it's 24 months. The normal breastfeeding period is something like 18 to 24 months. mothers are encouraged to not have another child until they've finished breastfeeding the previous one. And the health messages from the health services now promote that same message.
Religious authorities have not come out in support of any particular family planning method to help space births, but experts say women receive counseling after delivery, and many use a wide range of available birth control methods, including condoms, intrauterine devices, and Depo-Vera, the shot that includes the hormone progestin, to suppress ovulation. Save the Children says the Egyptian government has made impressive gains in improving maternal and child health over the past 15 years. Maternal mortality has been cut by 52%. Meanwhile, infant deaths in the first year of life have been reduced by over 63%, and mortality in the first month of life by a third. Health experts also credit Egypt not only for ensuring improved care in cities, but also in rural and other needy areas of the country. I'm William Eagle in Washington.